Good morning, everyone. We are going to do Q&A day, and it's Future Self Week here at PNP Tribe. I honestly had an interesting conversation this morning. So when we were last open, we had a contest for groupies. I can't remember what they had to do. I think they had to share, you know, the opening or something like that. And so I had my coaching call with the woman on there. First, I just have to say, it's so different to coach someone who is not in the tribe and not used to how we do things. I had to like really remember to not like be on my best behavior, but well, kind of be on my best behavior, like to make sure that I don't give her too much stuff all at one time. The second part was she had originally found me a year ago, and she's lost, I think, 60 something pounds. And she's like in the 200s now. She had started in the 300s. And she was saying, and I thought this was so on par for today. She was saying, I have a hard time finding my future self. Like I just can't envision her. And now she's already lost like 60 pounds. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Does it matter? And she said, well, yeah, you did like this whole podcast on it and stuff. And I said, no, I'm like, does it matter to you? Like, tell me why it's a problem that you can't see exactly who you're going to be at the end. And she said, well, how will I know what to do? And I said, I don't know. Take some guesses. I said, like, I didn't know what I was going to be like at the end. I didn't know what my goal number was going to be. I said, a lot of us, what we do is we sit around and we complicate seeing our future self. I said, the whole idea of the future self is not so that you're like, oh, I have to know exactly who I'm going to see in order to be able to do anything. It's like, no, you're going to do some stuff. And then along the way, you're going to figure out who your future self is. So I was just telling her, I said, just take some guesses. I was like, literally, just take some guesses. You don't need to know exactly what she weighs. You don't need to know exactly what size and stuff she is. But if you had to guess, she loving life? Is she bemoaning about her past? Is she bitching a lot? What is she doing? And she was like, well, no. Like, if I lose my weight, that's not going to be happening. I said, okay, so you do know who your future self is. Says you're overthinking your future self. And I said, hey, you know that version of you last year that started listening to me? Was she like, for sure, I'm going to lose 60 pounds this year? Like, I just know it. Like, I'm going to lose 60 pounds. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to do all the things. She was like, no. And I said, right. So you obviously can lose 60 pounds without knowing exactly who you're going to be today. So do you think you could lose 60 more not knowing who you're going to be in the next 60? The only thing that you know is that you're going to be changing and you're going to be doing things different and stuff. So it was like, I was really trying to extrapolate with her. And what I want you guys to understand is that when it comes to your future self, it's not about you having a super accurate description and then, okay, now all things are going to be easier from now on. It's about you learning how to think about who you might want to be versus who you don't want to be based on your past. Most of you are sitting around and deciding whether or not you're going to be successful, whether or not PNP is going to work for you and stuff based on like what you did last week versus what you're willing to do tomorrow based on what you learned last week. There's such a difference between, and I want you guys to hear this, there's such a difference between going back to what you did or did not do in the last week and figuring out what must change for next week. Because that is the future focused mentality versus coming up and saying, I'm such a shit show. I'm screwed up. All last week, I didn't do my plan. Why am I so broken? How am I going to ever get it? That's called past focus and it sucks. Or we whine like, it's never going to happen for me. Let me tell you all the terrible things I did last week. Did you know I binged 3 times? Did you know I did this? I can't figure out my shit. You don't need to figure out your shit. You need to write down a plan for the day. You need to ask yourself, last week, here are the things that happened. Am I going to use any of it to figure out some new things to say to myself this week? Am I going to use some of that shit to figure out like, oh, I notice I come home every day and I just find myself in the pantry? I probably should reach out to some people in the group and ask, hey, How did you break the habit of eating at 4 o'clock? They'll tell you. When you're sitting around thinking you're a broken ass person, you're not accessing your future self at all. At all. Guys, the only way that you get your goal is by thinking about where you're going, not hating on where you've been. The more time you guys sit around and hate on where you've been, then you are not spending time figuring out what are you willing to do for yourself. What are some of these things you're willing to start doing? What are some of the things you're willing to stop doing? Like, a lot of you need to stop sitting around fearing the 24-hour plan as if it takes all your food away. Some of you need to stop fearing going to pnptribe.com and saying, there's so much information. It's like, oh my God, yeah, there is. That's called a good fucking thing. What do you want? A website that has hardly anything? Corinne, I'd like to sign up and know that you have like almost nothing to help me. Wrong. The only reason why you guys get overwhelmed and scared is because you sit around and you think you can't do things. You think you can't figure it out. You think about all the reasons why you are wrong and broken. Rather than sitting around going like, okay, I'm going to log into that website. I really don't think it's going to blow my phone up. And I really don't think it's going to actually come up and bitch slap me, even though Corinne yells a lot. So when I go to the website and log in, there's something that says start here. I think I might click that button. I don't have to be overwhelmed. There's a button called start here. I also could be like, oh, it also says once you've done the start here button, click here next. Guys, you don't have to be overwhelmed. If you like, if those two things aren't going to take the overwhelm away from you, then ask a question rather than sitting around and pretending like you can't handle things. Here's what you can't handle. You can't handle sitting around in your misery anymore. Let's not handle that. Like, if we're going to pretend we can't handle something, let's just like say, I can't handle sitting around feeling bad anymore about this. I can't handle like telling myself all the time that I'm overwhelmed. Here's what I want to do. I want to be the kind of person who focuses on that and does way more figuring out what to do next. Sometimes figuring out what to do next means asking a question. You may have to suffer thoughts of, I should know this. I should not have to ask this question. Hey, I'd rather you suffer going through a little bit of like feeling embarrassed than you sitting around overwhelmed, tired, and on repeat every single day. Decide, which pain do I want? Do I want to figure out I didn't even have to be embarrassed? Or do I want to sit around in my pain and my misery thinking that this is the only option for me? All right, let's see what questions we've got coming in. While I pull up the questions, let me tell you guys, oh, I got to start Slack again. We have our call on, so if you don't know, on Saturday, 6 a.m. No, we're not doing it at 6 a.m. 9 a.m. Central Time. If you go to pnptribe.com, go to the calendar. The Zoom link is in. If you actually click on the 9 o'clock Central Time Q&A with Corinne, you'll see the Zoom link. We are going to be talking all about the like how you can work with me next year. So I am doing an in-person training in Nashville called Lose Weight and Gain Control. But it's not just about these 6 days with me. That's going to be amazing in its own. But if you really want to have an opportunity to work with me, this is your chance. Starting November 1st, prior to this, I will start with some, you're going to get like a package from me. You're going to get instructions on what to do to get ready for our week. So you're going to be going through some prep work. We're going to be doing a few things together to get you ready. Then once you come to Nashville, you're going to spend 6 days with me learning how to handle urges, how to take control of the scale, how to love your body, how to like all the things. We're going to just do all the things. And then I'm going to be feeding you that week because we're going to really practice hunger scale in live time. We're going to practice planning in live time, visualizing in live time. We're going to be doing all these things that I tell you guys that I do and that works We are going to be doing it all week together. And that's what this week is about. And then we're going to close it out with 4 months of, you'll get a group coaching call with me. And then we're going to see where you're at on your weight loss, where you're at on the goals that you set there moving forward. And then we'll also have this private, there's a private Facebook group just for that group that I will be engaged in and stuff. And then we'll have the coaches involved also. So it's my, like, I've always wanted to kind of have like my own private group. So this is what we're doing for this thing. So it's kind of like giving you guys an opportunity to actually work with me rather than just, I mean, not that you don't get to work with me here in the tribe. I obviously, most of the time by Saturday, my voice is about gone because I've talked so much through the week already with you guys, but it's way more dialed in and it's way more specific, and we're going to be working on the weight loss, like all the things that are getting in the way of it. You know, and just really figuring out I want you guys to end with a sense of normalcy around food. By the time, you know, you guys graduate from me, I want you to be like, yeah, like I get it now. I know how to have a normal relationship with food. I really know how to feel. Well, I just jacked that up. I really understand how to feel confident that I'm going to finish this journey. And that's a lot of like, and weight loss too. But my main thing is, I just remember when I was losing weight, that there was a point where I was like in the stage of figuring it out. Like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, I was kind of in that. And then it kind of snapped into, oh, this is just who I am now. Like, I just couldn't even entertain ever going back to who I was. Like, I didn't fear I was going to gain my weight back anymore. I just felt confident I was going to lose my weight. And so that is like what this future self is about. It's about like in that week and then in this module this week and stuff and in tribe, I'm always trying to orient you guys to where everything starts clicking into place of like, this is who I am. Like, I don't have to identify as the person who is overweight anymore. Like, there's lots of things that I still work on, but there's not like I never think I'm going to gain my weight back. I may have like doo-doo right now about me, but like that old version, she died a long time ago. She just did, you know, and I loved her and she got me through a lot in my life. But I didn't need her anymore. I don't need that version of Corinne anymore. I don't need the version of Corinne that needs food to keep showing up in life in other areas. And so that's what I really want for these people who go through this week is, you know, just, I want to see you at the end of that time that we work together. It's about 6 months total to be saying, yeah, I'm saying goodbye to that version of me. I'm saying hello and really feeling like this is me. This is the new version of me. Okay, let's see what questions we have. Let me move my phone. It's in the way. When doing the recovery worksheets, struggling to come up with a reason why, is there something extra I can ask myself? Not really. Just like, well, like, why did I overeat? Tammy, if you're here, tell me why you overate. There's no I don't know. Otherwise, if you really didn't know, you wouldn't have ate to begin with. You would have gone and done something else. Something in you was very specific to wanting to eat food. But here's the problem most of you run into when you think, I don't know why I ate. You're looking for it to be really deep or really confusing. There's no deep and really confusing. There is, like, I want it. It tastes good. That very, like, guys, you want it to sometimes just be that benign. Because then what happens is when you understand why you ate, it's because I just really wanted it. So that just means, like, and then ask yourself, why did I really want it? Because it would feel good. Because I was bored. Because I just like eating at night. You have to know all of that about you. So, like, if you like eating at night or you just really want it, then you have to start asking yourself, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to really want something and tell myself, no. Like, I'm going to need to listen for that and be like, it's no. And tonight, when I really want it, and like if you say like, I just really want it, it tastes so good. Then you just have to say like, yeah, it I just tell myself all the time, it's like, of course it tastes good. It's not like I've been sitting up eating broccoli all night long. Like if you just had to eat, Tammy, if you just literally had to eat broccoli all night long, you probably wouldn't be sitting there going, I don't know how to stop this habit. You'd be like, you know, I tried that broccoli one night, Corinne. That sucked. That didn't taste near as good. I don't think I want that. Of course you don't. So now what you have to do is you have to be like, okay, so in order to not eat at night, that means I literally have to listen for the moment when I just want it, and I have to tell myself, of course I would want it. I've been eating it every night. We're not doing it, but this is exactly why we want it right now. There's no other reason. And then I will tell you what happens, guys, and for all of you who are like in that realm, most of our nighttime overeating, I promise you, is not a bunch of junk. It's not like, well, the reason why I'm eating is because I'm so rejected by everyone in the world and I need the food to fill the void. Some of us, we are. Some of us, we aren't. Some of us, we have a really good life and stuff. We've just gotten into the habit of eating at night and it tastes good. It entertains us. And we don't want to have to go through the pain. Like, we just don't want to have to go through the pain of like, okay, I'm going to have to like be really uncomfortable because I'm not going to get what I want tonight. And sometimes if you guys just want to sit there and think about that, just be like compassionate and easy with yourself. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't do all that bullshit. Just be like, yeah, of course I want it. It's going to be a little like, it's not going to be like the best roller coaster ride ever. It's going to be rocky. But it's going to feel crazy just because I'm having to decondition myself to want that. Now, one of the easiest ways when it's just a simple, I want it and it's entertaining, is to also sit there and make sure that you substitute that habit with some other habit you're going to enjoy. So for some of you, it may just be like, if you're already watching TV and you're eating, you have to think about enjoying TV and be like, you know, I can enjoy and learn how to enjoy watching television. I don't need to do anything else, but I can learn to like, remember, like I'm getting a chance to enjoy myself. So that you're like, when you have one habit, you want to replace it with another. The easiest way to do that is your brain is not going to want to let go of one feel-good habit unless you have a feel-good habit lined up behind it to replace it. Okay. Somebody asked about the 6-day. There are spots available. Guys, if you want to know about it, so if you want to see like, do you want to come to the Q&A and all that kind of stuff, go to pnptribe.com, go to the events tab. There's the 6 days with Corinne. It's called Lose Weight, Gain Control. Click on that. That will give you a lot of information. There's a video from me to you on that page. You can look all that up, but we do have openings. I will let you guys sign up, you know, whenever you want to sign up, but I highly recommend that you go ahead and do it now. Just because on November 1, like I got to order all the stuff for the girls. So it's like for everybody who's coming, I need to start ordering the things I'm going to ship them. And the other thing is if you're going to do like a payment plan and stuff like that, we have a payment plan on there. You know, you can go ahead and get that started. So this is the only event that we do a payment plan for because it's a more expensive event. The rest of them, we don't do payment plans. Okay. Dina Cole. Oh, I like that name. That's a beautiful name. I think it's Dina Cole. Why would I be afraid of seeing my future self? I have done my future life and can picture my surroundings, but I struggle to see myself in this picture. Ask me what I look like and I draw a blank. You're not afraid. Like, I wouldn't be sitting there. I don't know. Maybe you are afraid. Maybe you're afraid. Like, sometimes this is what some people do. They will say, I'm afraid to see my future self there because if I start getting excited about it and I don't get there, then it's going to hurt worse. Guys, stop that. That's like saying, I'm going to just hope to God for that, but I just want to feel like shit a little bit so that if I have to feel like shit, I'm prepared to feel like shit. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard of, but we all do it. What I would think about is I would think, okay, I'm just going to see myself there. And the only reason why it would be scary is because I keep thinking I might not get there. That's the only thing. So I think one of the things is that if you can't see yourself there, then just envision all of the surroundings and go ahead and go with that version. You can also back the truck up a little bit. You can say something like, that's where she ends up, but this is the, like, in 3 months, this is like the first big step. She's doing these things. And you maybe you can see yourself there a little bit more. Guys, you don't have to get, like, when you're talking about the future self, most of the time, it's like if you get to the point to where you can envision yourself, like, thin and walking into stores and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But if you can't do that, that's okay, too. I would much rather you envision, like, the version of you is like, okay, and when she goes to the grocery store, she shops like this. When she's thinking about mistakes, she talks to herself like this. Like when she thinks about herself and catches herself saying terrible things, what is she doing? Do a lot of like the visualizing and the thinking of your future self, like how she handles like your life now. Because the majority of what you're doing now, guys, seriously, the majority of what you're doing now, your future self is going to be doing also. She's going to be having shady thoughts about herself. She's going to be making mistakes. She's going to have urges. She's going to have all the problems you have today. The only difference between you and her is she has learned how to think about them differently. Her problems have not gone away. Her problems come in and she just now knows how to handle them with her mind. That's the big difference. And that is why she ends up losing her weight. How do you deal with the fear that you won't like your results when you do lose weight? Sagging skin, looking older, fitting in clothes. You just decide. You can either, like, you can decide to just be like, I'm going to love how I look at the end no matter what. With my saggy skin, with all of it. That's what I had to do. Honey, let me just tell you. I was in my 30s with skin that already looked like she was in her 70s. Seriously, I even now in my 40s, like, had I not been overweight, my body would look so different. So different. But I don't sit around and be like, oh my God, like, oh, I wish I'd never done that. It's like, it's over. But I'm going to tell you, do y'all like how I dress? I just always like, I can dress this body so much easier than I could at 250. And you know what? Most people, even when they don't have a weight problem, guys, have saggy skin and bullshit. We have to quit thinking that this version of us that we're going to have, like feeling, like having thoughts about our body and it aging and having loose skin and stuff is somehow unique to overweight people. No, every woman has this. The biggest thing that the way that I deal with it, it's just like, I would much rather be the version of me with all the loose skin and the stretch marks and all the scars from surgery. I would much rather be this version who also is in control of her food, who also doesn't need food to make her feel better, who has added so many years to her life, who has changed the family tree for herself and her child. I would rather be that than like sitting around and thinking, you know what? I'm not going to lose weight. I'm so afraid of what it might look like. I don't give a fuck. That's what you need to say. Like, I don't give a fuck. When I get there, I'm going to learn how to like myself on the way down. So when I get there and I have some shady thoughts, I'll know how to redirect them. That's it. It doesn't mean that you're going to love every ounce of your body. Guys, I don't care if you only had 5 pounds to lose. The majority of the people that I know, when they lose weight, they have to be taught how to lose. They have to be taught how to love their body. I have a lot of friends. I have one girlfriend in particular who, she has a banging body. Banging. And she suffers over it. It's not about the body and what you're in. It's about the mindset you carry with it. That's really what it's about. You don't need a banging body to feel good about yourself. You need a banging brain to feel good about yourself. I'm following the four basics, less than 2 pounds gone in 3 weeks. That thought I was crushing it. You're still crushing it in the habits. Eating mostly healthy and on plan. I don't overeat. I eat slow. No alcohol. I feel like this will work for everyone but me. Please direct me. First, Heidi, you have to quit saying, I'm not crushing it. You're saying the scale is everything. If you will double down on thinking, I am crushing it, look at how many things I'm doing right. Now, within those things that I'm doing right, what are the things that I need to level up? If you get out of the shame shawl for a hot second and get into really combing through your data and being extra truthful and just be like, what is it? What is it? Is there anything that I could be doing? Because like some of the things that I see, eating mostly healthy. Okay, what is the not mostly? What are those things? Is that where you're going to need to like level up a little bit? Is that where you need to question? Like, do I want to keep this more than I want to lose a half a pound a week, a pound a week? Those are the questions you ask. Now, I will tell you, I don't know how much weight you have to lose. Heidi, can you just tell me how much weight you have to lose? Because I'm working on, this fingernail's killing me. I'm working on my summer stuff. And my goal literally has been a half a pound a week. And I don't even care if it's like 0.3. I'm just in it to get it down. And I'll let it slow roll because I would rather be able to like just eat mainly what I normally eat and not have like, if I want to like not have date night each week, I could have date night, but if I want to not drink on date night, sure, I could make it faster. I just don't want to do that. It's not worth the trade. So that's all the things you have to be like equating. So it just depends on like, you know, at what rate do I want to go? You know, because you're in control of this bus. There's no have to. But Heidi, I need you to tell me what's not the mostly and how much weight do you have to lose? Put that in the comments. I'm struggling. On the outside, I'm successful, strong, a mentor. On the inside, I'm numb. Life has massively changed in the last 5 years and I'm just numb. Okay, so I don't really know how to help you on this one because I don't have any details. So on the inside, you're going to have to start feeling. Life has massively changed. Okay. Why does that make you go numb is the question. You need to ask yourself in your journal, why has that made me go numb? Because I'm thinking these things about these massive changes. And are you going to be willing to open yourself up back to feeling? A lot of times when we have things that we're just not willing to deal with, what we do is on the outside, we busy ourselves. On the outside, we do a lot of shit that keeps us from having to think and feel about what's going on the inside. It's probably time to crack that nut open. And you don't have to tackle all of it. Just pick one thing. Just pick on one thing that you're like, I'm really like you said, your life has massively changed. Pick one of the things that you add into your massive list. So maybe this is what you could do, Marianne. Start with making a list of everything that you attribute to massive changes. All the things that have massively changed my life. Make a list of all of it. And then I want you to go through that list and I want you to pull out like the 3 or 4 that you think are bad, really bad. And then ask yourself, like, why is it so bad? Because it's done what? All of that will give you some place to start to at least see the framework. Now, it's going to bring up emotion. You're going to have to be willing to trade going numb for coming through with emotion. I'm having trouble doing 24-hour plans because I'm not hungry. No, because you're not writing. Do not let your brain convince you the reason why you're not taking a pen to a piece of paper is because you're not hungry. Do you mean executing your 24-hour plans? If you mean like if you're writing your 24-hour plan and you're not hungry, you skip the meal. That's called doing the 24-hour plan. But can you give me a little bit more context? Because I don't know that I totally understand the question. I'm trying to stop eating at night, and while 6 out of 7 nights a week, I win. Many of those nights, I'm laying there hungry and thinking about all the things I could eat the next day. Just have to get through tonight without giving in. Should I just suck it up and go to bed? Or are those 200 calories in my mouth okay to take the edge off? Why don't you just start planning a 200-calorie snack? Whatever, like, I don't care about the calories, but won't you just plan a snack every night? And then if you're truly hungry, eat it. If you're not, skip it. That would be the easiest solution to me. But here's, oh, you want to stop eating at night? Oh, you have one night a week where you have a temper tantrum. Oh, I would just suck it up and go to bed. If six nights a week you're not hungry, I would just suck it up and go to bed. I'm having trouble with 24-hour plans because I'm not, oh, that was said twice. Like, I need clarity here with this one, Shelley. I don't really understand. I still don't understand what you're asking. Like, am I having trouble following them? Am I having trouble making them? Like, what is the trouble? And then if you're not hungry, that's not a problem. If you're not hungry, it's because you're not hungry. Don't eat until you're hungry. Guys, easy rule. We don't eat until we're hungry. Yeah, that means every now and then, especially the more weight you have to lose, sometimes you're not going to be hungry for like a long time. You're going to be emotionally uncomfortable, but you're not going to be physically hungry. Big difference. No, you're not going to ruin your metabolism. I love how no one ever comes up to you. I would love, like, wouldn't it be amazing if, like, the next time we're at the Chinese buffet, in a drive-thru somewhere, maybe picking up a couple of cupcakes at the grocery store, you know, all those times when we were killing our metabolism, if somebody would have said, are you sure you want to, like, go for another plate? You know that kills your metabolism. Are you, like, I see you have cupcakes in your cart. You don't appear to be hungry. You know that kills your metabolism, right? Like, no one does that. When we're overeating, no one says, oh, hey, like, seriously, I think you might have ate past hungry. I think that's going to wreck your metabolism. I've heard people gain weight when they do that. Don't gain weight too fast. It's really not good for you. No one does that. But then, like, the second we ever are not hungry and we don't eat, guess our first thought is, I think I'm going to kill my metabolism. There must be a problem because I'm not hungry. There's no fucking problem. You overate for years. Guess what? We're called balancing the scales now. Sometimes when you balance the scales, you had an overeat like, I don't know, 72 days ago. You don't remember it. Like last Easter, when you were like face down in an Easter bunny and having like ham and mashed potatoes like it was nobody's business on Easter day, no one is going to be like the day that you're not hungry now, guess what you're doing? That fucking mashed potato fest and Easter bunny is sitting on your ass. You are now called metabolizing that because you're not overfeeding now. So yeah, like sometimes guys, guess what happens? You're not hungry for a while. It's normal. I love how in this country, we think not being hungry is like something's wrong. And like, and being hungry is like a problem to solve immediately. Like, don't get hungry. That'll kill your metabolism. What the fuck? Like, go read a science book. I'm not even the science girl, and I know better than that. My future self is a runner, not for weight loss, but mental clarity. Good for you, Melissa. How do I bridge the gap from me to her? Get out and start training. That's what I'd do. Start with walking, bitch. That's what I told myself. I'm like, we want to be a runner? Probably gonna have to get on that treadmill for 15 minutes. Every runner started someplace. Do you know where every runner started? Crawling. Toddling. Running down the street with their hands up in the air on their tippy toes. As adults, we do it by walking. And then we learn how to run. If you want to become a runner, I would highly recommend. I don't know how much weight you have to lose, Melissa. But my girlfriend, Jill Angie, from Not Your Average Runner, she's got an amazing podcast. A really good beginner program and stuff. I would recommend her. If you want to do Don't Stop Believing next year, you like really envision yourself as a runner, sign up for Don't Stop Believing. Come run with me. I'll be at the finish line hugging you. We put everybody through a 16-week training program that Jill actually custom wrote for PNP. And it's 4 months in a Facebook group. You come to Nashville for a weekend. You do your race here, all the things. If you want information on that, you can go. Guys, if you want any information on our events next year, all events are still open. I will say the April camp is the closest to selling out. I looked it up yesterday. And we're doing 350, and I think there's less than 100 spots left as of now. I think we finally are underneath 100. But if you go to pnptribe.com, go to the events tab, all of our events for next year are listed. You can check them all out. So that 6-day that I'm doing, Kathy has a 3-day coming up. We have all of the camps, and Don't Stop Believing. They're all in there. But yeah, anybody, like, we've had so many girls in the tribe over the last couple of years learn how to become runners just by doing our Don't Stop Believing training program and race, because it's you get that community going. It's just an amazing time. Let's see. PNP praise. I just have to thank you. It has been years since I've been able to be in 2X tops and bottoms. I usually buy my tops bigger than I need to cover. Not only have I lost weight, but you and the tribe have given me the confidence to wear my tops smaller than I normally would. My hubby actually noticed a difference in me yesterday, not only physically, but mentally. Thank you. Thank you. You're very welcome, Jen. I think that's always the best stuff. I just think when we're losing weight, I think one of the things that I think is amazing is when we're losing weight, because, you know, we teach it so different than everybody else. People don't just notice, like, how many of you have had someone say, like, you've lost weight, but you're just different. Like, so many of us get this, like, compliment of, you are different. And I think that is a true testament to how we're all really learning, like such a different mentality here. Oh, people are asking about Don't Stop Believing. You can walk it. Most of our people are walkers. The program works for running or walking or a combination of both. But just so you guys know, I would say probably 70 to 80% of the girls, I imagine, all walked it. So you can do a 5K, which is 3 miles. You can do a 10K, which is 6 miles. Or you can do a half marathon, which is 13 miles. We have all three distances. And the way we do our race, it's an out and back. So if you train to do 3 and you feel your oats that day and you're like, I'm going to keep on going, you get to just keep on going. You can turn around whenever you're ready and come back. So a lot of times people come and they sign up for one distance and they end up doing more miles and they cry when they cross the finish line and hug me and they've done something they've never done before. So it's always really cool. I have many compelling reasons. When I was working through the compelling reason worksheet this time, I realized I want to be healthy and never need joint replacement surgery because of my weight. Not sure how to word this as my compelling reason that I can refer back to when sitting with an urge. I would just say, I'm doing this for my joints. That would probably be, I want to be healthy with these joints and not these joints. I'm having a hard time planning. While I know there is nothing off limits and we don't have to eat chicken and broccoli 3 times a day, thank God I hate chicken, but is there some guidance to how much protein, veggies, and fruit so on to help fuel my body? Yeah, Nina, if you go to your No BS workbook, there's actually, do I have mine up here? No, mine's downstairs. If you go to the No BS workbook, in the part we talk about fueling the body, which was the second week, there are some guidelines in there just on like general guidelines. Guys, that is just because a lot of you do are like really wanting to be like, I feel really compelled right now to be the healthiest version of me. So we don't put those in there as this is who you're supposed to be. We like to just give some guidelines for people who are looking for them so you don't have to go out and Google it. But that does not mean that those are the absolute ones. I don't even follow all of those, but that gives you a good idea, okay? When I have sugary foods, I get hooked on them and crave them terribly, like most of us. And then I feel like crap, plus the scale goes up. Is no sugar, no flour for me, even if it's not medically necessary? Or other advice on how to kick the sugar habit? I was doing great, but I've allowed it to creep back in. You didn't allow it to creep in. Like, sugar is not running around like the Hamburglar and sneaking up in our life. You decide to eat it, and once you decide to eat it, your body reacts, period. There's no creeping in. It's like, oh, today I decided to have sugar. talking about it, guys. I'm going to tell you, I'm a word hawk. Talking about food as if it just is happening, it kind of snuck up on me. I don't really know where it came from. Never allow yourself to do that. Be like, oh, I know exactly how it got back in. On this day, I didn't have a plan and I decided to eat sugar. On this day, oh, another day that I ate sugar and I didn't have a plan. Oh, on this day, I actually had a plan. And on this day, I decided to break my own plan. Do you see how authoritatively I talk about it? It's like, I did this. I did this. Oh, look, I did this. Otherwise, the way you're describing it, and sugar crept back in. Sugar is not an entity that can do anything. It sits on the counter or in the pantry or in an item. It doesn't have legs that walks up and then like crawls up into your mouth. Describing it that way means that somehow now sugar has magic powers over you. You're either doing it or you're not. And if you're either doing it or you're not, guess what? Then when you do have it, you're either eating more of it or you're not. So if you have sugar and you start and you notice like, you know, when I eat sugar, I have like all of a sudden I want all the sugar. Then that means you're either going to eat all the sugar or you're not. So you're going to either pay the price of like, you know, sometimes when I have sugar, if for sure I want more of it. So I've got to decide, do I want to pay the price of having some sugar and then dealing with the increased urge and be like, for some of us, it's worth it. Like when I have like desserts, I have the same thing, guys. If I have desserts, I'm not even a dessert person, but if I have, I'm going to promise you, if we go out and I start my day with like something fun like pancakes, the rest of the day I want sweets. I know chemically that's how it works. So if I want to have like pancakes for breakfast, I know that I am going to want more sugar the rest of the day and I'm going to need to deal with my urges the rest of the day. Period. Do you see how like I don't talk about it like, I don't know, should I do no sugar, no flour? Because it's like, it just seems like sugar has such a power over me. And oh, that is so fucking defeating. It sucks. Stop talking about it that way. Because it makes you automatically feel like a victim. Like as if you're a non-player in the game. You're the only player in the game. That's it. There's no other players. You're solo artist. You're golf. So don't be sitting there and thinking that like you're going to have all this other stuff going along in order to do it. So you just are left with, okay, if I notice every time I eat sugar, then that means I'm going to have increased cravings. I either need to decide, I really would like to keep sugar in my plan. So I need to get really good with dealing with cravings and knowing that they're going to come and be okay with them and learn how to talk myself through them. Or I'm going to be like, that shit sucks. I really don't like doing all of that. We have a lot of girls that are no sugar, no flour. Some who don't even do exceptions with sugar and flour because they're like, it's just such a bother. I'd rather be doing other things. There's so many other foods to enjoy. I'm just done with that part of my life. I've had enough sugar and flour for the rest of my life. I don't want to deal with increased urges. I don't want to deal with that bullshit. All of it coming from a place of I am deciding. Not sugar is deciding. Not I need to try something so that I can like, you know, be protected. No. It's all about you making your decisions. I'm good at visualizing myself in the morning, but as the day goes on, especially when my kids come home, I kind of forget. And my actions, you're not kind of forgetting. There's a difference between forgetting. I want you to listen to this. Are you forgetting? Or when your kids come home, you haven't triggered yourself to think about your future self. This isn't like, you may actually be forgetting, but that's not a truth that's helping you. Allowing yourself to believe that you can just forget who your future self is a very dangerous slope. Just say like, when my kids get home, I'm not reminding myself. Here's what's actually happening. I'm not reminding myself. It's very different between I'm forgetting. So if you're not reminding yourself, guess what happens? Oh, probably should start reminding myself. I probably should like make a sticky note. Do something that triggers me to remind myself. That's an easy fix. Do y'all see how like important the language in which we speak is everything about our weight loss? I know it seems crazy. I know you guys are like, but how does that make me lose weight? I'll tell you how it makes you lose weight. If you're sitting around feeling defeated most of the time when it comes to food and yourself, defeated people eat to not feel defeated. Defeated people eat to feel comforted. to feel numb. That's how it changes everything. So if you're going to create an environment that sucks for you and the way you handle sucky environments is by eating, you have to quit creating an environment that sucks for you. You also have to quit creating an environment that says, I'm not in control. Things are just happening. I'm just noticing that I forget things. It's like, no, you're not forgetting. You're not reminding. That's the difference. This is why being in the tribe is very different than being on the outside. So we address the specifics of what's going on. So when you have more weight to lose, you can have longer periods of not being hungry. At any stage you can. But sometimes, in the very beginning, when people have more weight to lose, you may have longer times because you have more stored, fat cells than someone like who doesn't. So your body can quickly access energy faster than as you get thinner, if that makes sense. That doesn't mean that when you only have 15 pounds to lose or 30 pounds to lose, that you won't go through long periods sometimes of not being hungry. Sometimes, guys, it's like the hormonal side of things of I'm on my period, I will have some cravings, but there's usually a day. It's typically day one or two. My hunger goes tanked. I am not hungry at all. My cramps, I get almost low level nausea and stuff. And I rarely eat much on that day. Now, there's another day on my period that we're getting ready to go into my period. Just letting you know, I think there's a day or two left. But I plan more carbs. I plan very specifically to have things I like. So that I'm not just breaking my plan. I'm not just eating whatever and all that kind of shit. I really take good care of myself. I've watched my periods for so long. I plan to eat for me. But then I just know I always have this day where I might eat one meal. I'm just not hungry and I'm not going to make myself eat on a day I'm not hungry. And guess what? Here I am at 45 and my metabolism has not tanked. Not one time. Okay. Mary Jo, no more questions. I've got plenty to go through at this point. This is Shelley. This is the follow-up answer. What happens is I stay on the course of the 24-hour plan, but I am not hungry to eat anything. So I wait until dinner, but then I am snacking after dinner because I didn't eat. That's not why you're snacking after dinner. Shelley, you ate your dinner. You're not snacking after dinner because you didn't eat all day long. You're snacking after dinner because now that you've ate, you're not telling yourself, and we're done eating. That is why you're eating. I guarantee you, guys, your stomach is as big as a fist. Whatever you're eating for dinner is plenty. You may not be emotionally satisfied and stuff, but I guarantee you, you're not going to be wake up in the morning and be like, somebody take me to the emergency room. I starved. I'm about to die. That dinner didn't do it. And I mean, it's been 2 hours or an hour. Now, sometimes if you haven't ate all day and you start eating, all of a sudden you'll have little thoughts of you didn't eat all day. I bet you're extra hungry. You have to look out for the subtle thoughts that are going on. There's subtle thoughts causing you to eat. It's not because you didn't eat all day. That's an excuse you use to keep eating off your plan. And that's the one you need to see. It's like my toddler brain's driving the bus. I joined the tribe in January, did so well, hit the Queen's Club. In the last few months, I've just been terrible. What would you tell me to do to start taking control of the situation? Follow your plans. Quit beating yourself up over them. Make them realistic. If you don't eat, be aware that you're going to want, your toddler brain doesn't just happen to you guys. You guys, especially if you've been in here since January, you know. I'm going to sometimes not eat all day because I'm actually not hungry. And then when I eat, then I'm going to want to eat more. Because I'm telling myself I've been terrible lately. I'm off the rails. I might as well because I didn't eat all day. You need to be very aware of that and be like, and this is when we're going to do what we say we're going to do. I'm going to be uncomfortable for a little bit. That's how we fix things. What do you say to that voice when you are not hungry and you know it, but it says, I don't care, I want it? And you say, of course I would not care and just want it right now. That's normal. Of course I would be trying to argue to eat. That's what I've, and I, because here's what I say. Of course I would argue to eat. I've always given in. Not today. And you'll have to say it 1,000 times. Guys, there's no magic voice thought that makes not responding to your immediate wants and desires better. There's none. There's you talking to it and you not doing it and then going about your life and do something else and continuing to talk to it in calm rationality. Y'all, you're gonna have, like, yeah, you're gonna want it. You're not suddenly gonna want your goals when right now you wanna eat ding dongs. Just not gonna happen. You'll want what you have right in front of you right now. So I always suggest, like, you give, how can you reward yourself in the moment? Like that urge jar that my mentor talks about. Mary Jo, post in there the link to the urge jar. Every time you don't eat, give yourself one of these. And when this thing gets filled with how many times you didn't eat when you said you wanted to and you didn't, reward yourself with something. I probably shouldn't have picked that up. September baby, is it common to think this will work for everyone else but me? Yeah, because it's bullshit. It's common to think bullshit. Let's put it that way, Heidi. It's not true. You just have to tell yourself it's very normal to think this will work for everybody else but me. How do you know? This is what I normally tell people to say. Thinking that it will work for everyone else but me is a surefire way to get me to not try and not know if it works for me. That's all that's happening. You will never know if it works for you unless you do it. The worst that happens, if you already fear it won't work for you and you're not doing it as I say, the worst thing that will happen is you will do it as I say and it won't work and you will have the exact same result you started with. Except over here, you 100% know you're going to fail. 100%. If you're not doing it, if you're not showing up, if you're not tweaking, if you're not making mistakes and getting back up, if you're not doing all those things I talk about, 100% you failed. 100% it won't work for you. Congratulations. You decided your future and you created it. But if you're just like, of course I would think that, but you know what? The only way to know what's going to work for me is to get in there and do it while I'm afraid it won't work for me. I'm already afraid over here. Why not be afraid while trying? And then you do all the things and it either works or it doesn't. And now you have increased exponentially the odds of it working. Over here, there's no hope, none. There's diet switches, of course. I mean, you can go out and try, like, do like we normally do. I'm determined this one's not going to work. So here's what I need. I need to be excited again about my potential and my future. So rather than being excited about my potential and future and just doing the thing I'm already supposed to be doing, I'm going to go and sign up for something new and get all excited until I'm worried. Yet again, this isn't going to work for me. First time I make a mistake or the first time it doesn't work out, the way that I thought. Oh, see? Proved again. Until you sit in enough fear that you need relief, so you go quit and then you start another diet so you can get all that excitement up again. And then you never really learn how to deal with, like, oh, it's not going the way I thought. It's time for me to figure out what's not working and then tweak and then ask questions and then figure out new strategies until I find things. I'm doing all the things. You're not doing all the things. I guarantee you're not doing all the things because you said mostly healthy earlier. Here's how I know when somebody's doing all the things. When they first describe it, they don't say mostly healthy. Sin, I tell you what, Heidi, give me the opportunity to prove you wrong. You're not arguing for yourself, so I'll do it for you. This is what I love when you guys argue for your own limitations. Like, Cran, let me tell you my limitations. Let me argue for my pain. If the scale is not moving at the rate you want it to, you can either say, I'm doing all the things and dead stop trying to improve yourself. Or you can say, I obviously have something I can do. Let me go through my data. Let me look at it with a fine-tooth comb. What am I willing to do? What are the things in here Corinne might see? So I'll prove you wrong. Post it all. Create a Facebook post today with, I think you said you joined in January or in September. So you should, as of today, September the 26th, we started, I'll even give it to you. We closed up. So you probably started, everybody was supposed to start doing 24-hour plans on September the 8th. If you will write every 24-hour plan, I'll tell you what, you don't even have to write every 24-hour plan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, so that's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 is today. So let's do yesterday as if 19. Out of 19 days, I want you to go through every single thing, and I want you to give me the percentage. On this day, I followed my plan 100%. On, like, for each day, like, you can do it like this. So September the 8th, I followed the plan 100%. Hunger scale was for sure negative 2, positive 2. No, I think so's. If there's an I think so, it does not count. We're going to call that I didn't. I for sure was negative 2. I was for sure plus 2. I for sure got my water. I for sure got my sleep. All of it. I want all the data. Straight dope. Any day that you did not do your hunger scale, or any day where you are like, I didn't follow the plan 100%, but it was mostly healthy, I want to see all the food. All the food for that day. Let's start with that. I may come back with more data or more questions, but giving me that. See, guys, that's how I look at it. When I decide to make a sweeping judgment of what's happening, I break it all into my math. I never have a sweeping judgment for myself. Like if I'm like, well, I'm mostly following my calendar, I just don't understand why I'm not getting all my stuff done. I go back through and I really look at, did I get my stuff done that I calendar? Where did I break the plan? How many times was I in Slack that day? How many, like I go through all the stuff and I give myself the accurate view first. Then I get to have judgments about it. But I never do judgments without very detailed data that cannot be disputed. So if you'll do that, and then Mary Jo, if you'll make sure that gets into my Facebook 5, I will personally go through it on the Facebook group, and I will look at it, and I will dissect it with my brain. I will help you figure out how to ask the next level questions for yourself and dial it in. But you also have to tell me, how much weight do you want to be losing per week, and how much weight do you weigh now? And are you 100% committed to that rate of weight loss? Because a lot of you say you want to be losing faster, but here's the thing. Like, I want to be losing a pound or two a week, but I don't want to do a pound or 2 weeks worth of work. Here's what I want to do. I want to eat all the things, and I don't want to, like have to be hungry. I want to be able to eat all the things and sometimes wait till I'm hungry. Sometimes eat 2 or 3, but like I really want to lose 2 pounds a week. Somebody who loses 2 pounds a week either has lots of weight to lose or is someone who's like decided, like, you know what? Like, fuck donuts. Like, fuck some of the chips. Like, I'm just done. Like, I've had plenty of chips in my life. I'm not including those things right now. It matters more to me right now to feel better, to lose 2 pounds a week. I'm determined. That is someone who's on fire for it. It's the difference between someone who says, I really want to lose 2 pounds a week, but I don't know about all that. Like, I'll be deprived if I don't have chips. No, you won't. Have the chips. If you really want the chips, just say, I'm going to have chips, and now what I'm going to do is not lose 2 pounds a week, but I'm willing to lose a half a pound. Like, when we take all the emotion out of it and we just start looking at things and deciding, like, this is what I want. Am I willing to pay that price? I am or I'm not. That's as boring as it gets. Most of weight loss should be, like, really boring. It shouldn't feel like I'm tired. Like, I don't know. Like, no. It's a bunch of junk. I've gotten several compliments on the weight that I've lost, and it feels good to hear it, but I've noticed that when I look in the mirror, I have trouble seeing my results. My clothes fit better, but it's like all I see are the areas that I need to lose more in. That's very normal because you're probably used to looking that way. So now what I want you to do is when you look in the mirror, I want you to go before the mirror, and I want you to tell yourself exactly where you're going to look first. You just have to retrain your brain where to look first. And I like to, like, it's like how I get on the scale, do the same thing in the mirror. I do the same thing in the mirror. Before I look in the mirror, especially naked, I tell myself, this is where we're going to look first, and this is an opportunity to love ourselves. Those two things are very helpful. It's just going to take practice. She said she's done self-love, but still struggling with what I can do to kick these mental, you don't need to kick them to the curb. You need to condition yourself what to look for first. And then just be like, of course I would be thinking shade about my body. I have for a long time. It's okay. That doesn't mean that my body is fat. It just means sometimes I think it is. It doesn't mean that my body is ugly. It just means that sometimes I think it is. Starting there is really helpful. I'm in menopause. My sleep is broken. Any ideas on how to remedy without prescription? I would check out Sleep Remedy. kit.com/PHITNPHAT. That's what I take at night. It's super helpful. I have to take medicine in the morning and I need to take it with food. I'm not hungry till 11. Is it okay to eat something so I can take my medicine? Yeah. Like literally, like you can eat a half a banana. You could eat probably two or three crackers. You don't really need a ton. Perfectionism is my problem. I'm scared I'm making mistakes in my thinking and carefully plan and execute my 24-hour plan. Listening to your podcast, I see underneath it all I'm coming from a place of shame. Exactly. I'm new and I'm working through no BS. Where do I go for breaking the shame game? That will be next week. We start talking a lot about the model and where our thoughts and feelings come from. So just do the work for this week, but that's going to come up next week. Most of the time with perfectionism, what usually ends up happening is, like, what I can tell you in the short term is, tell yourself that I'm going to make mistakes, and the only reason why I wouldn't make a mistake is because of what I'll tell myself. And I have control over what I'm going to tell myself. So when your self-deprecating thoughts come in, and when you're when you are making yourself feel bad about it, you can just tell yourself, that's been my habit. This is part of the process. These thoughts are just thoughts. It's all going to be okay. I am learning how to unwind all of it. I think I've been overeating my salads because they're fucking delicious. Girl, I feel you. I know that historically as a member of the Clean Plate Club, I need to get used to leaving food behind, but it seems like the more realistic level up at this point is to make smaller portions to get used to the plus two. That's fine. It doesn't matter, guys, if you leave food behind or if you make smaller portions. It's the same thing. When you make a smaller portion, just agree you're not going back. I do that a lot. A lot of times it's just easier for me to just be like, I'm making a smaller portion and I don't go back. And trust me, there's even drama there. It sounds like, I think for me, it's easier to do that, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. Because a lot of times what I catch myself doing is making a smaller portion and immediately thinking that's not going to be enough food. You might want to make sure that when you're done, if you want, you can add more. I do shit like that. I just decided that, like, no, we're not adding more. If at the next meal I notice the previous meal didn't carry me through, I can use that information for tomorrow, not today. Is this just me? Yeah, I think all of that's just fine. I think all of it's fine. Okay, we have coming up this weekend. So tomorrow you guys are getting the weekend motivator. My hair has gone to crap as I've played with it this whole call. You'll get the weekend motivator from me. It'll be in the private member podcast. It'll be in the video replays for all of our non-Facebook users. And it will also, we load that one particular one up every week for you inside of Facebook so that you can chat about it if you want. Saturday, 9 a.m. Central Time. If you go to pnptribe.com, go to the calendar, which is halfway down the page. Tap on 6-day Q&A with Corinne. The Zoom link is right there. I think we're sending you guys an email reminder also. You can join me and ask all the questions you have about training with me. It is the program where we're going to work together for a few months. There's a payment plan attached to this one. All the information is on pnptribe.com. Go to the events tab and you'll find it. And then on Sunday, There's coaching with me at noon Central Time. So if you want to come on Sunday and hang out with me and watch some people get coached and stuff, we will be doing that. And then next week we kick off one of the best weeks in PNP, which is where we start unlocking the secrets of our mind. We're going to teach you all about your thoughts and your feelings. Like, for a lot of you, you're like, sometimes you wonder why you don't do the things you don't want, that you want to do. This is the week where we understand how that process works. How do you find those reasons? How to not be scared that you're going to unlock some kind of weird shit for yourself. Guys, I've been doing this a long time. No one has like ever messaged me and said, I unlocked all the weird shit. It's not weird. It's just things you already have in your brain. You do not have to worry. We're going to figure out the bullshit we think. We're going to figure out what to do with it, how to practice it, how to put it on repeat, how to have a feeling and not have a conniption fit, how to generate feelings that we want. We're going to do all the things. That's what next week is all about. It is one of the most helpful weeks in bringing together everything. So if you're working with us through No BS, guys, if you're one of my older tribe members, I really recommend you doing module 4 again. Nobody, if I have to keep studying the model, all of you have to keep studying the model. It is one of those things that every time we talk about the think, feel, act cycle in the model, you will learn a little bit more information each and every time you do it that will help you. And then I don't know. It's just a great week. So I'm really looking forward to it. All right. You guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.